to the book of Philippians, one of my favorite books. And this morning we're in chapter 4. And our text is found in the words of verse 8. Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. We're thinking together on the theme, "Let Christ capture your mind." Paul writes in verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." This first century Christian, the Apostle Paul, understood all too well the influence that the mind has on one's life as a follower of Jesus Christ. It certainly matters a great deal the way that you and I as Christians think. What we permit to occupy our minds will eventually determine our actions. The way we think is going to affect the way that we live. Now, Solomon wrote of this way back in the Old Testament in Proverbs 23, verse 7, when he said, and I quote, "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is." In other words, we are the product of our thinking. As we think, so we act. Someone has put it, "Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny." You see, my good friend, everything starts in the mind. Now, the thought life of the Christian was very important to this man, the Apostle Paul. So much so that a little earlier in this same epistle, in chapter 2, verse 5, he says this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Later, Paul declared to the Colossian believers in chapter 3, verse 2, "Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things." The New Living Translation renders these words, "Let heaven fill your thoughts." Wouldn't that be wonderful if we did that? So much of the cares and the frustrations and the worries of life would just dissipate. Let heaven fill your thoughts. Do not think only about things down here on earth. Now, in the verses before us, the Apostle Paul exhorts us as followers of Jesus Christ to focus and discipline our minds upon those things that make for a wholesome thought life. That's what we like to look at. Now, first of all, this morning, I want you to think of the condition of a depraved mind. And there are many people today, and that's what they have. I wonder, have you ever been struck with the full force of Paul's description of a mind that has never been redeemed by Jesus Christ? Let me show you what I mean. To the Romans, Paul wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 28, when speaking about sexual sin, "Since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind," a vile mind, an evil mind, a corrupt mind. Or listen to these words that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, when writing how Satan can blind those people, he says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not. Or consider these words that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in chapter 4, verse 18. When speaking of Gentiles, lost Gentiles, and how they think. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God. And there you have the thought life of a man who has never been redeemed by Jesus Christ. His mind is depraved. His mind is blinded. And his mind is darkened. And we don't have to go very far from this area when we come in contact with those who are lost and they've never been forgiven. They know nothing of God's love. They have no standards by which to live because they don't believe the truth of the Word of God. And they come up with all sorts of different ways that we can live. And the Bible says their minds are darkened, depraved, and blinded. Now, since this is the state of man's condition outside of Christ, and it is, then he is far removed from the standard which God requires. And I just want to let you know this morning that God has a standard. And he's going to hold to it. And no one's going to get by without living up to it. Listen what God's standard is. It's found in Mark chapter 12, verse 30, and other places in the New Testament. Jesus said this, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Now get this. "And with all thy mind and with all thy strength." This is the first commandment. And most of us recognize this morning that man is unable to live up to that standard. He can't do it. He's tried, but he can't. And yet God has a standard. And because God is a loving God, he was willing to step into the situation. And he invited man into conversation with himself. You and I can come at any time. We can come before him and we can bring our sin and our problems and our sickness and we can have a conversation with God. It doesn't matter what sin you have committed or what problem you're going through. Listen to what God said. "Come now, you and him, and let's talk it over," says the Lord. "No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can take it out and make you as clean as freshly fallen snow." That's what he can do. "Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you as white as wool." So here is the holy God, and he's got a very lofty standard. And you and I cannot reach it in our own strength. Some of you have tried and you can't. And then God comes along in Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he invites you and I to come to him. And he says, "I'll give you the power and the strength by which you can live up to the standard that I've given. And you can have the type of thinking and a mind that is sanctified if you will let me help you." If we are willing to accept this invitation that God has offered to us, we shall receive, first of all, the forgiveness of sins, plus something just as wonderful, the transformation of a new mind that will enable us to have a thought life that is Christian. And that's what happens. Listen to the way that Paul spells it out for us. He says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect his will really is." And there you have a total change of man's condition from vile to virtuous. And the key to that change is the surrendering of the mind, which is the control center of man's attitudes, thoughts, and feelings, and all of his actions, and we surrender them to Jesus Christ. Now there you have the condition of a depraved mind. And there are a lot of our leaders out there this morning. And they're living right there. And you and I need to come to the place as Christians to realize that somewhere along the line we need to stop. And recognize there is a different way to go and a different way to think. Well, having looked at the condition of a depraved mind, I want you to think in the second place of the characteristics. The characteristics of a dedicated mind. Now here in verse 8, Paul makes a list of six items that make for a wholesome thought life. Notice what he says there in your Bible in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of good report. Now notice, think on these things. What a list. Notice it. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report. Now the problem we face in those six Greek adjectives in this verse that Christians are to meditate upon is that we have no corresponding English word that precisely describes them. But with the Holy Spirit as our guide, let me try to. But before we go any further, let me ask you and myself several questions. Might be interesting, relevant questions. How is your thought life? How is your thought life this morning as a Christian? Or perhaps maybe as an unsaved person? What kind of things do you permit your mind to think about and to dwell upon and to control you? What books are you reading? What music are you listening to? What movies do you attend? What programs on television do you watch and allow that to fill your mind? Do the things that you put in your mind and in your thinking, does it honor Christ in your life, or are you filling it and feeding it with that which is unhealthy and unholy and unchristian? Those are the questions we need to ask as we just enter this new year. Because so goes our mind, so go our lives. And we're at the beginning of a new year. And some of us need a new thought life if we want to make an impact. Well, notice what Paul says. We Christians are to think upon those things that are true. Whatsoever things are true. Young people, get this down this morning. And beyond young people, all of us, but especially you young people in school. Whatsoever things are true. And you will only find truth in God's word. Everything else is relative. It changes. If you want to find something that is absolute, you will find it in the Word of God. Now, truth is the foundation of all other virtues. If you don't have truth, you have nothing. It's grounded in God. It's revealed in Jesus Christ. It never changes like the weather or shifts like the sand. And on this Sunday, in this sanctuary, Christ desires to capture our minds and control our thoughts, so that you and I, this new year, will live the truth, walk the truth, speak the truth, love the truth, and constantly, as Paul tells us in the text, think the truth. That's what he tells us. Think on these things, that which is true. And yet so easy today, it's
So easy to clutter our minds with untruthful things. And they're coming down the pike all the time. And we need to have a standard by which to go. Someone has said, "Take thou our minds, dear Lord, we humbly pray. And give us the mind of Christ each passing day. Teach us to know the truth that sets us free. Grant us in all our thoughts to honor thee." The truth. We need to think the truth. Now, we're very fortunate here at Second Baptist Church that we have a school that teaches the truth. One of the sad things today about our secular schools is that there's a lot of untruth being taught. But we need to think on the truth. Well, let's follow that up secondly. We must not only think on things that are true, but notice what he says. We must think upon those things that are honest. And whatsoever things are honest, think on these things. Now, the word honest here is rendered by the NIV as noble. And by the New Living Translation is honorable. It refers to what is dignified and worthy of respect. A literal meaning could be worthy of reverence. Think on those things that are worthy of reverence. What Paul is trying to get across to each one of us is that if we give Christ control of our minds, then those things that are not worthy for us to think upon will have no controlling grip upon us. They won't capture us because he's already captured our minds. Or take another virtue that ought to occupy the mind of the believer. According to Paul, those things that are just, whatsoever things that are just, think on these things. Some translations put in the word, think on things that are right. In other words, it eventually summons us to righteousness. When we see injustice, we need to eradicate it. And this is never an easy thing to do. A lot of us like to set our minds on things that are romantic and sentimental instead of what is just and right and good. Here is one that is very difficult today, and yet Jesus commanded it through the Apostle Paul. Think on those things that are, notice now, pure. Whatsoever things are pure. And I want you to notice the word here is not limited just from liberty from the sins of the flesh, but it includes purity in all aspects of life and thoughts and actions. You and I will never meet the temptations that come to us victoriously without a disciplined and a dedicated thought life. The temptation to do evil must be met, first of all, on the battleground of the mind. That's where it all begins. Now, I know in present-day America, we have a warped view of what is pure and moral. And with temptations all around us, it's so easy to be deceived in our thinking. And we must guard and discipline our thinking away from that which is unholy and keeping ourselves anchored to the Holy One. And then we will be able in the power of Christ to resist the temptation. Paul continues. He says, think on those things that are lovely. Whatsoever things are lovely, think on these things. Admirable. In other words, that which is love-worthy. Think on those things. Can you think of anything this morning that is love-worthy? What about faith? What about courage? What about Christ-likeness? Those should be the continuous thoughts of the believer. And then he says, think on those things that are of good report. The words good report could be gracious. Paul is encouraging us to dwell on that which is attractive, winsome, or highly regarded. The grace of God reigning within our hearts will enable us to become gracious in our character, on our lips, and it will dominate our minds. Think. That's Paul's great word to each and every one of us. Think on these things. In other words, take account of these things with a view of not only committing our minds to them, but recognizing that they are part of our daily character and life. There you have the things that characterize, notice now, a dedicated mind. What a differentiation. But regarding the condition, notice now, of a depraved mind, the characteristics of a dedicated mind. Now, I've just mentioned seven different things along the way that Paul commanded us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by which we are to think as we stand on the threshold of a new year so we can set our minds straight and we are on the right path and it will enable us this year to avoid a lot of temptations, a lot of problems. Now, how do we do that? Well, that's my third point. And I want us to think of the control of a devoted mind. Now notice Paul's words in verse 7. Hope you have your Bible. Bring it every Sunday. Notice Paul's words in verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You can't even understand it, God's peace, when you dwell on Him. Shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now notice those words, the peace of God, which Paul talks about there in verse 7. You know who he's talking about? The peace of God is none other than Jesus Christ himself. The peace of God. Now you say, well, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, if we had time this morning, we could turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. You don't have to. Verse 14, where it's talking about the Son of God, and it says this, for he is our peace. So when we're talking about the peace of God, we're talking about Jesus who has been revealed in the flesh and he's come. He is our peace. Now notice, and every person who accepts this Jesus by faith to be their Savior has peace with God and the peace of God. Now that's wonderful. And this peace not only floods the believer's troubled soul, which it does in difficult times, but notice now, it guards and protects their thought life. Notice that word in verse 7, keep. It depicts a soldier standing guard. It is a marvelous, marvelous picture of God's protective keeping power that extends to the deepest thoughts and feelings of the believer in Christ. He guards them. He puts a garrison around them so that our thought life can be Christian. Now, Paul is talking about that. And I want you to notice that such Christian adequacy to safeguard our minds has already been demonstrated by Paul. I'm not talking this morning something out of the top of my head. Some of you have already experienced this. But I know one who did, and that was the Apostle Paul. And he wouldn't be writing about something that wasn't attainable if he hadn't already attained it. I want you to know that he is the inspiration that such a pattern of Christian-controlled thinking is possible. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, listen there in your Bible, verse 9. Come on now. Follow along. Those things, Paul says, which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. Now what is Paul saying? Here he's reminding the Philippian Christians that what they learned and what they received and what they heard and what they saw was not just a set of rules about the Christian life and how it should be adequately lived, like I'm saying this morning. But in Paul, they saw a burning consciousness of Christ, which he not only talked about, but which he embodied and which he demonstrated in his thought life. Paul says, look, I'm writing to you over there in Philippi about something that you can experience. It's at your fingertips. You can have a clean life, a clean thought life, a pure thought life that is honest and righteous and holy. It can happen. Young people, if you could only grasp that truth this morning, what a blessing it will be there in junior high school and high school. And you who are fathers and we who are husbands and mothers and wives, get the truth down now once and for all. The ministry of Christ is the means of the mastery of the mind. Now notice, go down a little further in verse 13 there in your Bible. Notice what Paul says. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now what is he telling us? What Paul is telling us here is that it's not within our own ability to control our thought life. But such mastery comes through his union with the living, exalted Christ. The source of Paul's strength to master his thought life was through the power of the indwelling Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit, living within him. Now that's our encouragement. Someone here this morning say, Pastor Reg, I don't know if I can do it. No, you can't. But your encouragement is that Paul did it in Christ. And if Paul could do it in Christ, so can I and so can you. Christ can capture our mind and control us. Now get this. So to be in Christ means, according to Paul, that we Christians must live our lives by constantly, continuously drawing our strength from the Christ who lives within us. Now, how do we do this? An evil thought comes, and what do? Through prayer and worship, Sunday worship, Sunday evening worship, Wednesday night, David's class, being taught the Word of God, in prayer meeting, Bible reading, and surrender. We keep the supply of God's inexhaustible power flowing continuously in our lives. And once Christ is given control of our lives, the thoughts that are unworthy and impure will no longer secure controlling, I have a controlling hold over us. That's how it comes about. That's how it happens. Now, where have we gone? Notice where we have traveled. The condition of a depraved mind. There could be someone here this morning listening to this sermon. You've come to this service. If you were to die, you don't know you would go to heaven. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Your sins have never been forgiven. And your mind is depraved and darkened. And you know it. That's where we start. And then we have the characteristics of a disciplined, a dedicated mind. And then we have the control of a devoted mind. Now, this is not something that you get on Sunday and then by the end of the week it leaves you. I'm talking about a thought life that is continuously, continuously pure. There will be times when we will take our eyes off the Lord and we'll fail. We aren't sinless. We'll get mixed up this side of heaven. The old nature is always still there. That old Adamic nature is always going to be tempting us, tripping us up. And thank God, the Bible says, and John says, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and we can go to Him and confess it and start in again. But I'm talking about this morning that we can have a continuous discipline, mind. And that's my final thought. We're almost through. The continuation of a disciplined mind. Now, how do we as Christians continue to think on things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and attractive? Well, I want you to note that Paul doesn't give us just nice sounding advice. He gives us some life-changing commands in order for that to happen. And I'm just going to mention two. And when we do those two things, and when we recognize those two things, we may continue to fill our minds with those things that are virtuous and lovely. Now, first of all, there must be a continuous renewing of the mind. You ought to get that down in your notes and in your thinking. If you want to have a pure thought life, there must be a continuous renewing of the mind. Now, what does Paul mean by that? Well, would you take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 12? Romans chapter 12. We'll just leave the text. We're almost through. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. A continuous renewing of the mind. Now, Paul says there in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, here we find Paul reminding Christians that though the transformation of life is the work of God, and it is, you're never going to get a pure mind until, first of all, you are transformed or made over again or born again or regenerated by the Spirit of God. It starts with God. But once you get it, it is our responsibility to consent and to cooperate with the work of grace. If we don't cooperate, it's never going to come. We aren't going to experience. We need to cooperate. We must surrender ourselves to it. And such transformation begins with the renewing of the mind. Now, this is what I call a spiritual mind transplant. We've heard of a heart transplant, a lung transplant. This is a spiritual mind transplant. And the renewed mind of the believer will permit them to see the things from the perspective of the cross of Jesus Christ, which alone produces a hatred for unchristian and unholy thoughts instead of delighting in them. This renewal of the converted mind is the gradual conforming every day. It starts as a gift, but it continues as a growth. It's the gradual, day by day, and moment by moment, conforming us to the new spiritual world into which we have been introduced and placed, the new life in Christ. Now, you don't get there overnight. And that's why the Christian life, you don't just wake up and you're spiritual. As a matter of fact, if someone thinks that, you better re-examine. The Christian life is a growth. It's like going on an escalator. The Bible speaks of growing in grace. And don't think there's anybody here in the sanctuary this morning that you have arrived at the place where you will never sin and you'll never have an evil thought. Because if you think so, you're on your way down. And I can predict it, you're going to be defeated. It's a gradual process. As we develop into this new spiritual world in which we have been reintroduced and into which we now live and now move and have our being. And as we do that, it becomes a discipline and a discerning mind. And through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the mind now is controlled and mastered. and it is approved. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 12. You don't have to go back to it. But when we do this, that we think on that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So if we live by the Spirit, now let's get it down. The whole work of redemption is all of God from start to finish. But we have a part. We have a responsibility. We've got to yield and surrender. And when we do, there comes victory. A continuous renewing of the mind. And then I close. There must be a continuous reflecting of the mind. Listen to what Paul says in writing to the Colossians. The next book, chapter 3, verse 16. Now listen. This is what Paul says. Let the word of Christ, the word of God, dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now mark the words there. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know what St. Paul meant by that, the word of Christ? Well, it includes both many of the Old Testament psalms that thank God for all of that he had done in the past, and many of the teachings of Christ in the New Testament that he was doing and was going to continue to do in the future. Paul realized if the mind is going to be pure, it must meditate faithfully upon the word of God, so our thought life will constantly reflect upon what we have read. I just gave my son-in-law a Bible. And you have heard this. And in it, I wrote the words of D.L. Moody when he passed it on to his son. The Bible will keep you from sin. Or sin will keep you from the Bible. Or to put it in the words of David, Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Do you see what I'm driving at? The words of the Bible are become part of the believer's thought life. And they spring forth daily in our minds and they reflect on the truths of God's word. And then what do we have? We have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Every thought now becomes fully surrendered to the Lordship of Christ. And our minds come under the divine control of the risen Christ. So both by renewing and reflecting of our minds, we are able every day to have a disciplined thought life. But here's the question. Will you let Christ capture your mind? And if you will, he will control your life. Paul did. Will you? What an opportunity at the beginning, the first Sunday in January. You know, if some of us would only do that, what a fruitful year this is going to be. What a fruitful year this is going to be. Half of the diseases that people go through, I'm not against psychiatrists. Sometimes they're needed. But you have often heard me say the greatest psychiatrist is Jesus Christ. The greatest psychiatrist. Psychiatrist has sight, but Jesus has insight. And every problem that you and I ever face, and every problem that we ever go through, if we would surrender it to Him and give our minds to Him, what a difference it would make. There's a mind sickness today in this world, and it's not getting any better. And you and I, you know, we do things today. I go through things at night just to keep my mind alert. I can go back. I grew up in a project. Some of you have never heard of it. It's called the Land of Kites in about 600 homes. And I have done this for the last few years. I go right down every road And I can name almost every single person in those houses. And when I can't, I go back and I zero in. And I just came across a house that was empty in my mind for almost 4 months. And then finally it came. His name was Carl. Carl Ward. And he lived on that end road, on that house. Now I've got it to keep my mind alert. Now if I can do that physically and just keep my mind energized, can you imagine what we can do as Christians if we just gave Jesus Christ our minds and allow Him to use them to His honor and glory? That's the message. Shall we pray?